On behalf of Copyright Clearance Center and Ixis, our London-based subsidiary, welcome today to Frankfurt Book Fair from the Hall of 4.2, where many of the world's leading scholarly and scientific publishers are gathered. My name is Christopher Keneally. Our audience today is a global one, not only because the Frankfurt Book Fair is a truly global event, like none other, but also because this hotspot session is broadcast live on the Facebook page of Copyright Clearance Center. According to a study by Michael Gale, an integrated technology marketer who's worked for major technology brands for many years, the chances that your organization is getting digital transformation right are not good. 1 in 8 companies, says Gale, will succeed at digital transformation. The other 7 will fail or miss their expectations so mightily as to consider those efforts a failure. So maybe that's why hotspots on digital transformation make a regular appearance here at Frankfurt Book Fair. We all want to be very much in that successful 16%. Now, scholarly publishers have made a head start. They were among the first in publishing to go digital. Today, 2 of my colleagues will share how data-driven, practical solutions can accelerate digital transformation and why knowledge engineering is the next leg of our profession's ongoing digital transformation journey. And we will get started with my colleague, Carl Robinson. Carl, welcome.
Hi, Chris.
Carl Robinson joined Ixis in 2013. As a principal consultant with a focus on publishing and media, Carl Robinson helps publishers look at business vision, goals, and strategies around their content to meet the ever-changing demands of the digital market for content and learning. Carl has been in publishing since 1995, and he's worked for Pearson, Macmillan Education, and Oxford University Press. And Carl, quite often the digital transformation is spoken of as a journey. And as any traveler will tell you, perhaps many people who've come here from long distances, there are 2 types of journeys, the ones that follow a crooked line and those that are along a straight, direct path. And the same is true for fences, yes, as you found out.
Indeed. Thank you, Chris. So I've been building a fence recently at home, and I know to look at me, I'm not much of a DIY man, but I was very determined to get this done. I like projects that have a beginning and an end. Excuse me, Babis. There were some difficulties in my fence project, though, to the extent that I think my neighbor's new less-than-1-year-old son's first word is likely to be a 4-letter one, sadly not mama or dada. That's my worry. The last piece of this job was nailing these slats on to the framework to the end of the yard. And I knew where I was going. You can see my direction of travel. And I just knuckled down, right, started here and got on with it. Just shy of the 7th meter, which is just beyond that wall in the photograph, I stood back to admire my handiwork and noticed that somewhere earlier in the process, I had incrementally gone slightly off course. The bottom slat was about 0.5 centimeter slightly angled than the top end of that same slat. And because I was measuring each slat against the other one, by the time I hit the 7th meter, I was about 5 centimeters off at the bottom. Now, I'm the kind of person who will literally come back from the dead to straighten a photograph. And I could not bear this. So I ended up unpicking something like 4 meters of my fence to put it right. You can imagine the 4-letter words that were coming out at that point. What's this got to do with digital transformation? It's a very good question. I think there needs to be a very strong vision in place about what we want to achieve, the outcomes, which in my case was the built fence. Not obsession about the system and the minutiae, the pieces, the slats, that it does this or does that, but more as a business, we want to grow by X percent market share, or as a business, we want to reduce costs by Y percent. It's important to focus on the outcomes. And the other thing, of course, as I learned to my pain, it's key to step back and make sure that we're going in the right direction, to sense check from time to time, to make sure that we haven't, like I did, have made an incremental error earlier on in the process, and instead of hitting that transformation target, we're actually going to end up somewhere over here. A small mistake earlier on in the process can lead to a big, bad outcome at the other end. and a likelihood of high cost to unpick and put right. At Ixys, we and I have been involved in helping many, many publishers take the next step in their transformation journeys. And I'd like to share with you for a few moments some commonalities and trends that I've seen before our CTO, Babis Marmanis, talks about the next step in digital transformation. And what we've found, or what I've found, is on this transformation journey, it often starts very much in a single department and then grows and progresses throughout the entire business. This creates a transformative effect on the organization. At an academic publisher I've been working with personally recently, this is very much the case, where a single department, a single business unit even within that department, was driving the need for change. In their case, this was to improve the editorial processes around their content, on journals' content. And this has now progressed to include more content types and other business units. And the roadmap indicates a complete overhaul of their kind of end-to-end author-to-customer journey in the next 18 months to 2 years, a very short timescale. This is going to transform them and position them as leaders in their business. So how does this happen inside publishers? Combination of factors for sure. Clear vision from within the organization is key. And this is the person who keeps the fence on the straight and true and makes sure that somebody is watching that we don't go off course. In the case of the publisher I just mentioned, there was definitely a very strong visionary driving this need for change. And from that small start, they are well on their way to transformation. But what else has to happen? Throughout my experience, it's become crystal clear, to me at least, that there are three key factors to success. People, process, and technology. How we respond to the separate but connected challenges that these present will determine our capacity for successful transformation. People, process, and technology, and there, right in the middle, is the sweet spot of success. You overbalance too much towards one, say the technology piece, or too much towards the people piece, and you may end up in that, what is it, one in eight, is it, 84%? 84% of publishers who fail to successfully transform. How do we become part of the 16% then who succeed? I suggest we do it by being agile. Now, I don't mean agile software development here. I mean agility, flexibility, capability to maximize your future freedom of action and position yourself to have the very best fence ever or the best opportunity of maximizing your commercial opportunities. What we want to avoid, though, I think, as I've said, is over-focusing on systems and system improvements. We need to be focused on the future state we want to be in. A company I worked with some years ago spent a lot of time and money creating, crafting an RFP, and then putting that out to tender and building the perfect system that met all of those needs, all of the system requirements, tick, 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 in the RFP boxes. And they got it. And it was what they thought that they wanted. I went into a room as part of Ixys to do some work with them on realizing or articulating the business benefits they were going to get from this system. And as realization dawned and a clammy sweat appeared on their brow, jaws literally dropped as they realized that what they thought they wanted was not what they needed. I would urge anyone here to avoid that situation, to avoid over-focusing on system requirements. Keep your eye on the outcomes. Maximize future freedom of action. And how do we do that? Well, we need to be agile in both content and in our organization. As I say, there are three factors that influence our successful transformation: people, process, and technology. If we take technology first, as a key factor in success is getting your content more agile. And what do I mean by agile content? It's a good buzzword. But agile content is accessible content. It should be discoverable, open, portable. In a white paper that CCC and Ixys commissioned earlier this year, we found that publishers gave discoverability of their content a rating of 4 out of 5 on how important it was to their successful business. They rated themselves 2 out of 5 on how good they were at delivering discoverable content. Something clearly has to be done. Let's get the content agile. Granular content is key. It's agile content. A key factor in all transformation projects that we've seen at Ixys has been the ability to reuse content widely, to have content authored in chunks that allow you to combine, recombine, and create new products from that wealth of content that you have in your repository. More recently, I've been working with a large educational global organization where we've embedded the capability of easily authoring in chunks in well-formed JATS XML. The authors don't realize that they're authoring in JATS XML. It looks like Word to them. And that's supporting them publishing more quickly, in a better way, and supporting that capability to produce more and more products more flexibly. Interactive content, the ability to embed different content types, to create relationships between content. When it's updated here, that update is reflected over here and wherever that content is accessed. For example, you can connect content and people in terms of their relationships. For academic authors, we know that affiliations and citations is important. We can make those connections in order to update that content everywhere and make sure that we're keeping true to our impact factors. And this leads me to linked content, something I know that will come up shortly, I think. One of the more fascinating revolutions to me, at least, is learning about knowledge graphs. There have been a couple of talks here this morning already about knowledge graphs. And agile content is content that is linked to all of our data resources and all of those online open data sources as well. You'll hear more about this, I'm sure, in a few minutes, about how incredible it is that machines can infer meaning from this content and infer relationships. And that's not explicit in the data itself. And that's a real new place to be where we can get real business advantage. And of course, our content must be enriched. We talk about metadata year on year at Frankfurt, but it doesn't go away. We have to make sure we've got good metadata around our content. We're decorating it with meaning. And this forms the basis of the next step in digital transformation. If we do all of that to our content, then we're well on the road to digital transformation. And we've been doing this at Ixys with many of our clients. And it's enabled them to change fundamentally the way they do their business. But some, as Chris mentioned, fail to embed change. Why? Well, I would argue it's because of the people and process factors that I mentioned. I've seen firsthand some really excellent technological implementations within businesses that seem not to get the traction that they deserve. And therefore, they aren't able to deliver the transformation that they promise. Why has this happened? Well, because they also need to be agile in organization. And what's that? What's an agile organization? An organization that is adaptive. It's able and ready to change. Probably has a compelling reason to change. What we sometimes call a burning bridge. Revenues falling off a cliff. Increased costs because of digital delivery. These are compelling burning bridges and good reasons to be adaptive and able to change. In my view, an agile business is also a growing business, seeking new ways to do business, seeking to evolve. Where organizations use technology merely to support their existing processes, automating what they currently do, rather than working out where and how they could and should change, then they spend a lot of time and money and adding no real value to their business. I would urge you to avoid that. Truly successful publishers that we've worked with at Ixys have also changed the ways of working and have thought creatively about the future and gaining exponential change from that, gaining exponential value from that change. So think about changing, not just automating what you currently do. What these successful publishers are doing, in my view, is targeting outcomes from a technology implementation, not outputs. This is a critical difference. Outcomes get us to the future. They get us to the end of the yard. They get us to a completed fence. Outputs focus on the deliverables, something that's in a contract or an RFP. I would say work towards outcomes. Who do we need to be? What needs to be achieved? Where do we need to be playing? Then we can use the people, process, and technology changes to support that vision, to deliver those outcomes and therefore achieve success. And that will allow us to be innovative, to create something new, something from that great repository that we've got. Again, an agile organization with agile content, they put themselves in a position to take advantage of the innovation that's there in their companies or respond to rapidly changing marketplaces. Do we want to monetize the raw data behind our articles, for example? Well, yes. In that case, let's put ourselves in position to do it. And then lean, my last point about being an agile organization. Let's be agile in how we build these things. We need to keep checking in, going back to my fence analogy. Keep course correcting. Let's try not to over-specify a system or an approach before we get started. Let's just get started, but ensure that there is a strong vision, a strong hand on the tiller keeping us true. Over-specification, spending too long on designing to the nth degree up front, in my experience, leads to stagnation and misalignment. I would frankly love to see an RFP from a publisher that didn't specify requirements up front, but only specified outcomes. That's the path to success, in my view. So how do we get to be in the 16%, Chris? Firstly, transform the content. Secondly, we embrace the change that transformed content leads us towards. And then finally, we continue to learn and continue to grow. Then we'll be ready to take the very next step in the transformation journey, which our CTO, Bhavis Malmanis, will talk about shortly. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Carl. And, you know, a nice presentation that goes to show that while fences make good neighbors, they also make good metaphors. So appreciate that. And now we want to turn to Haralambos Bhavis Malmanis, who is Copyright Clearance Center's Chief Technology Officer and Vice President, Engineering and Product Development. Welcome, Bhavis. Bhavis Malmanis is responsible at CCC for driving the technology vision and the implementation of all software systems at the company. Bhavis holds a PhD in applied mathematics from Brown University and a master's of science from the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. He is a published book author in business and technology. And Bhavis, as Carl said, you want us to take the next step to create a supply chain of information. And of course, such an approach relies on data, lots of data, an ocean of data, in fact. And so that's why your story begins on some lovely beachfront property here at Frankfurt Book Fair.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. So, yeah, I love the ocean. I grew up next to the ocean, so I got to love the ocean, learn a lot about it. One thing that I didn't know at the time that I was a child playing on the shore was that there is 20 million tons of gold under the sea. At current values of gold, that's $830 trillion. So definitely an amount of wealth that anyone would like to put their hands on. But what does this have to do with us? Well, every enterprise today, going back to good metaphors, is sitting on the shorelines of an ocean of data. And that ocean of data has its own gold in it. There is a number of companies, among them publishers, who pursue a journey of trying to identify where that gold is and get the value from it. That's the digital transformation journey, and that digital transformation journey, we call it enterprise data science. It is a digital transformation that goes beyond the things that Carl told us, and the key characteristic of it is knowledge engineering. A long time ago, over 10 years ago, I was working in procurement, supply chain, and we developed an approach, which was in essence a digital transformation as well, that allowed companies to save millions of dollars in costs and do so not on a one-off basis, but annually, helping operations and procurement organizations, teams to year over year hold a higher standard of performance. And the key to success for that digital transformation was also knowledge engineering. What was happening in that case was that we were receiving expenses, the records of expenses from all the ERP systems that a large company would have. And our goal was to find the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, about where did the money go. If you think about your organizations and the level of visibility you have in expenses, you can think of that the larger the organization is, it's a formidable task. So the key was to create a web of information, a web of knowledge that would allow you to crosswalk across different ERP systems and identify where did the money go. Also identify how much money did I spend to buy chairs, how much money did I pay to have for travel and entertainment, and so on. So as I was thinking about it, I thought that what we're talking about with enterprise data science is essentially a generalization of that digital transformation. It is a generalization in the sense that instead of having multiple ERP systems, now you have multiple data sources. It could be databases that you have. It could be documents that you have. It could be record systems that you have. All that together, putting it all that together, can help you extract a lot of knowledge. Now, in the past, a lot of knowledge management, knowledge engineering efforts were reduced to identifying what do I know based on the data that I have and connect it together. That's very valuable. That's very important. It needs to happen, and it needs to happen correctly. But instead of relying solely on databases, today we have the power of using unstructured text. Now, in publishing, probably most of the data that you have is unstructured text. So being able to mine that text, identify everything that that text says, and be able to represent that is very, very powerful. So that's another big differentiator. The ability to bring that program to fruition has all the elements of a large digital transformation. It requires high-level executive sponsorship, clear objectives, as Carl mentioned earlier, a focused center of excellence, and so on. But there are certain elements that we are able to introduce today that we were not able to introduce, say, 5-10 years ago. And what are those? Those are machine learning. Advances in machine learning have allowed us to create systems that can produce their own high-level abstractions about the data that they process. And the other aspect of it is cloud computing. So cloud computing, whether proprietary or public infrastructures, can allow you to build a variety of systems to solve a variety of problems on demand, and you pay only what you use. So those are market conditions that became a reality over the past 5 years that allows us to create such a digital transformation program. So if you look at it at a 30,000 feet view, what would that program look like? Well, the first core functional area will be an information acquisition module or set of modules that you create to absorb the information into the system. The second would be an analysis, semantic enrichment, structure, and summarization functional area that would allow you to understand what is it that the data says, how are the data connected, and on occasion being able to create summaries of information that you receive from multiple sources. The third part is about integrating all that information. And that introduces an element also that it was not available in the past years in digital transformation. Actually, two elements. The one element is a feedback loop, a continuous feedback loop that introduces quality control in the information contained in your web of knowledge, so to speak. And the second aspect of it is the element of probability. So we don't longer say, I know that. We only say, I know that with confidence X, and 90%, 80%, and so on. And if you think about it, that's true for everything in life. What is it that you know that you think is certain? Bertrand Russell, a famous mathematician and a writer, British mathematician and writer, wrote a book about titled The Problems of Philosophy. And he started the book by questioning, what is it that we really know? It's a very interesting book. I recommend to everyone to read it. But the point is that we don't know anything with 100% certainty. And if you doubt that statement, you can try yourselves at home. So the point is that what we know is probabilistic. We're not talking about a web of knowledge. We're talking about a probabilistic web of knowledge. And that means that we have the ability today not only to look at what the data tell us, but also what the data could tell us. That is an important differentiator. So with that, I think I will close by saying that enterprise data science is an important digital transformation approach that will help organizations gain the race of value creation. It will most likely be the single most important differentiator between leaders and laggards over the next 10, 20 years in every industry, not just publishing.
Well, Bevis, I have to say, I know one thing for certain. We are out of time. But I want to thank you, thank the audience for joining us today for this program on knowledge engineering. I want to thank Copyright Clearance Center CTO, Bevis Marmanis.
Thank you, Bruce.
And Principal Consultant with Ixis, Carl Robinson from London. And again, thank you all for joining us today. Take care.
Thank you.